real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
I want to talk about how we tackle the problem of domestic violence, of violence against women, and violence in general. And the prevalence of single-sex schools in Ireland needs to be analysed to address issues of gender inequality and toxic masculinity. That was last year, according to the Labour education spokesperson, Eoghan Reardon. The challenges in tackling the problem are exacerbated by children being separated on the basis of genders in school. And also, many women's organisations have said over the last few days that schools like this, or should I say same-sex schools, don't promote or harvest a healthy relationship with boys and girls. And yes, there is evidence that boys and girls academically perform better in same-sex schools rather than mixed schools. But the evidence shows that in mixed schools, they are socially advantaged. Whereas in same-sex schools, they tend to be socially disadvantaged. Eoghan Reardon said, within the discussion of domestic violence, I made the point that this is a very gendered issue. The majority of people who are affected by domestic violence are women. The problem here is men. The problem is most cases is men. And the toxic masculinity, he says, is part of the mix. When you're trying to tackle gender inequality, it's more difficult to tackle gender inequality when you have a school system as segregated on gender lines as Ireland. 17%, by the way, of Irish primary school children attend single-gender schools, while one-third of secondary-level schools are separated on the base of gender, 33%. And Deputy Reardon said he is often contacted by parents in his constituency inquiring as to why it still makes sense to separate children by gender. He added, when you have a situation when you're trying to have a level of equality within the school system, when you are trying to encourage people to have less insecure views of each other, a less insecure viewer of gender equality, it is more challenging to do so. So the point that's being made is that, and over the last 4 or 5 days, of course, since the tragic murder of Aisling Murphy, is how do we tackle this in a strategy going forward to make sure that men have an understanding of women and that women have an understanding of men and that we all get on in the future and that this kind of violence is eradicated at some point. Well, certainly I don't think it'll ever be eradicated, but certainly we can reduce the harm and reduce the level, is to introduce genders to each other at an earlier age. And when we have 17% of primary schools which are single-gendered school and 33% of secondary schools are single-gendered schools, that's going to become a problem. But there are parents out there who will say, well, hold on a second, I prefer to send my boy to a single-gendered school. I don't want him in a girls' school because he's distracted by the girls. I want him to study. I want him to go to a nice posh college with all boys, you know, where he'll knuckle down. And as I said to you, there is evidence that same-sex schools academically perform better. But as I said, socially they're disadvantaged. So I want to know, should we abolish the idea of same-sex schools? I don't know where Ireland stands in Europe in relation to this, but should we abolish the idea of a same-sex school and have them all mixed? The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Graham, our school teacher, our resident school teacher. Graham,
how are we getting on now?
Yeah, I'm grand. Graham, look, what a shocking, shocking story, which has raised so many arguments over the weekend and so many debates in relation to how we tackle gender-based violence. This is one of those things that's come up, which is, of course, the idea of mixed schools versus same-sex schools. Where do you lie on this?
I'm not saying this is a panacea to that. I think it's a much wider issue than just this. But on that, all schools should be mixed. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be any single-sex school. The world is mixed.
Yep.
The idea of a school is to prepare students holistically for when they leave school, not just the maths, English, history, science, whatever, is to prepare them holistically for when they go out into the world. That involves being around people of the opposite gender.
Yeah, because there are no jobs that are all male jobs or all female jobs. Well, there are some jobs which are primarily male or female, but that's more so out of choice than necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, we prepare them for a world where they're going to have to work with women, live with women, have relationships with women. So, I mean, what's the point in turning around and saying, well, then we're going to put you in a school with all boys?
People and behave appropriately. I see no logic in single-sex schools at all. The school I'm currently sitting in was originally a single-sex school about 10 years ago when co-ed.
I was actually surprised that 17%, nearly 20% of primary schools are still single-sex and that a third of secondary schools are single-sex. I don't know where we stand in Europe in relation to those figures, by the way, but I'm surprised by that figure.
I'd guess quite poor. I would imagine that they would have higher rates of co-ed schools. Mm. And again, I'm guessing, I could be wrong, but it's a legacy of the fact that it was, we pawned off education to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And that's what it's a legacy of. So it's something we need to rectify.
What do you say to parents out there who'll say, well, hold on, I sent my girl to an all-girls school, I sent my boy to an all-boys school, they perform really well, and I'm going to send my next son now to an all-boys school, and we should have a choice. That they and by the way, the evidence is there in relation to that, and you know, I don't know how good that evidence is, but they do say they perform academically better. Now, not socially, they're disadvantaged, obviously, but academically they perform better.
Well, if you take out the two, assuming that to be true, and I would find some ways in which I would question that, but even if I assume that to be true, that academically they do well, but socially they're disadvantaged. I don't know about you, but when I left school, of all the subjects I did, all the things I learned, social interaction is something I've used for the rest of my life. Yeah. I haven't used every other subject I learned. I'm not saying I didn't use any of them. I'm a teacher. I have. But of the most important thing from it was the social interaction. I mean, the most important thing I have left over from primary and secondary school is the friends I made there, because I'm still friends with them.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that study is probably skewed to the fact that a lot of the single-sex schools are private schools.
Private schools.
Yeah. And so they have more, daddy and mammy have more money, and you probably do better in life anyway. So I would imagine that's kind of slightly skewed. But I went to a same-sex school, and in my day, they were nearly all same-sex secondary schools.
Oh, so did I, both of my schools.
And when I got to third year, then they started to introduce the girls. And I suppose there is the argument that some people say, oh, I don't want to send my boy to a mixed school because he's going to be distracted by girls and relationships and all sorts of things.
If you're distracted by girls, sorry, mate, cop on. That's part of the bloody problem.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, no, but it is.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're distracted by girls and you're pawning off somehow that you're, let's say, if you're not achieving academically, and somehow it's the girls' fault because they're just in the room. I mean, come on, like.
But then the issue is you, and that's exactly why we need to mix schools in the first place.
Who is affected that way by them, and if they're affected that way, then that's the part. I'm not saying that they're, you know, someone who will go off and assault anyone, but that is part of the problem.
But what do we do then with, say, you know, when we look at the bigger private schools, and most of them are quite famous at this stage here in this country, the private schools, you know, they're being funded by parents, so to speak.
They're being funded by the state.
Well, half by the state.
They should be 100% funded by the parents who want to go there, in which case the 51, I believe, I could be off on that, I think there's 51 in the state, that would drop dramatically.
And do you think parents should still have the right to send their kids to a private single-sex school if they want to do that?
If the rule applied to the state, the rule applied to every school.
So it
school
should apply across the board, is what you're saying?
It should apply across the board, and private schools should be privately funded, fully.
Okay.
But that's a separate debate.
All right, listen, Graham, thanks for that. I know you have to get back to teaching there, okay?
No, got to go to class.
Thank you very much indeed. Appreciate you coming on. Let me just go to Sharon. Sharon, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Sharon?
Hi, Niall.
The idea of same-sex schools, some people think it's an outdated idea, whereas other parents think it's a great idea. They'd rather send their children to same-sex schools.
Well, I think that gentleman put it so well. We're preparing children for the world, so why segregate them?
Mm-hmm.
They should be, you know, a class on respect. And I remember witnessing a few incidents I went to both mixed and single. Mm-hmm. Sex schools, mm-hmm. and a couple of incidents in the mixed sex schools, they were just kidding around. But I thought there should be more supervision, that the teachers should intervene and say, hold on, this is not respectful, and take them aside and show them the right way.
When you say incidents, I mean, give me an example of the kind of thing that you would suggest would be, you know, inappropriate behaviour that should be stopped.
Well, getting in someone's face,
mm-hmm.
saying things that...
sexist?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Making sexist comments or misogynistic comments or...
Exactly. So there should be... There's three words. You said it yourself, conscious. We need to become more conscious and conscientious, more education from a very young age up,
mm-hmm.
an actual class at school, you know, and what was the other word?
I mean, we should be looking for a class, I suppose.
Respect is the big one.
Yeah, but early intervention, I suppose, when it comes to, as you mentioned, respect, consent, all those other things as well that we talk about. Now, I did mention here, somebody mentioned this morning, masculinity, as if it was some sort of negative thing. I don't believe masculinity in itself is a negative thing, no more than I believe femininity is a negative thing. I mean, boys will be boys and girls will be girls. So I think that's acceptable and biologically we have to accept
it. As long as there's respect.
Absolutely. As long as they respect each other. And do you think we can harvest healthy relationships better in a mixed school than we can in a same-sex school?
I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
I would say so, because it, at the end of the day, it comes down to respect between the sexes, between each other, and the teachers need to get more involved, and they need to spend a little less time on the, you know, the curriculum, not maybe a little less time, but a little more time on life skills. They don't seem to teach very much of that at all. You know,
I wonder, and I don't know, maybe a teacher will tell me, if they're trained, whilst training to be a teacher, are they trained, you know, to spot the signs of gender inequality in schools, or, you know, or to spot the signs of, you know, maybe boys giving a girl a hard time, or indeed
bring
vice versa.
Bring it up. Maybe you could even do role play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think should have the if a boy is disrespectful to a girl at school, or vice versa, if it happens, but we're talking boy-girl at the moment, that a friend is taught how to intervene and say, no, this is not right. This is not how we respect our females, our women, our, when they grow up, our women, you know, but it needs to start very, very, very young. Because it seems to me like, you know, years ago there was a bit more there than there is now.
Yeah.
And the films don't help. I mean, look at all the movies that are, you know, so disrespectful to women. And, of course, they're equally disrespectful to men. There's all of that. But it's about respect for each other as people and...
Do you think things are getting better? Because when you, okay, you mentioned the movies, and let me just come back to that. When we look at, say, Hollywood movies...
Full of sex and violence.
No. Sex and violence, unfortunately, sells.
Maybe it shouldn't sell. Maybe we all need to be more conscious about what
we can't,
watch.
Yeah, but we can't sanitize the world either. But what point I was trying to make was, if you go back 20... No, we can't. I wouldn't like to live in a sanitized world.
To live in a world where all the movies aren't about sex and violence. There's so many more interesting subjects.
I don't think all movies are about sex and violence.
An awful lot of them. There's an awful lot of them are. Thankfully, there's a lot more now that are, you know, oriented about nicer.
The biggest movies at the moment would be the kind of like the Marvel type movies, the Spider-Mans and all those kind of big movies. They're the big blockbusters at the moment. There's very little violence in them. I mean, it's, you know, this is 12s, yeah. Under 12s. So, but in relation to the, I think what we've achieved over the last 10 or 15 years, certainly, is the heroes in these movies. And we have changed, I suppose, traditionally, back to the 1940s and 50s, it was always the man saving the woman and she was always the, you know, slapped him across the face as he kissed her and all that kind of carry on. That stuff is gone. And nowadays, the hero can be a woman. The hero can be a man. You know, the one that's good at the fighting can be a woman, and it can be a man. I think we've come a long way when we talk about those kind of stuff. So there's a lot of
respect. We have, we have. So it's about respect for each other, isn't it? And helping each other, whether male or female.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And always not being afraid to speak up when we see, you know, wrong behavior or disrespectful behavior.
And why do you think sometimes men don't speak up when they see this, you know, bad behaviour? Is it because they're trying to be macho or...?
Maybe sometimes they just don't have the skills to. I know I spoke to my nephew a while ago and he had said to me he was ready to step in over Christmas there with an incident he saw happen.
Mm-hmm.
Fair play to him. Beautiful boy. He was about to step in, but his, whoever he was with, put her hand on him and said, no, wait.
Don't get involved.
It sorted itself out.
Mm-hmm.
But he was prepared to step in if it didn't get sorted out,
But isn't this the case that, for example, in relation to Aisling Murphy, I would say 999 out of 1,000 men who walk past or who would have walked past or could have walked past that particular incident happening would have intervened and stop that from happening. So,
of course,
and this is why we obviously need to be careful having this conversation. That although there is a culture out there that needs to stop, that it's up to men, and most men are good men, to intervene and to stop other men from behaving like that.
Well, it probably starts with the discussions in the pubs and the discussions at younger level as well. You know, for that 1% who goes and does that to another human being, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know anybody can do that to another human being. It's intolerable. Sharon, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air.
Thank you, Niall.
Okay, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. We're talking about schools. Kind of, we went slightly off the topic there, obviously. But in relation to schools, because this is part of the conversation that's happening at the moment, our school system currently has 17% primary and 33%, roughly a third of secondary schools, are separated on the basis of gender. In other words, they're same-sex schools. The rest are all mixed schools. And some people, including Eoghan Reardon last year, mentioned, and women's, I think it was Women's Aid, were on the radio this morning talking about the fact that we should have all mixed schools. So in other words, children, young children, are mixing from the day they're born right up to the day they start work or whatever it is and become young adults. In other words, they learn to live with each other rather than being separated through the schooling system. The number is 087-188-0008. Would that be a good idea? Or maybe you're one of those people who believes in same-sex schools, and they say, oh, no, my daughter goes to an all-girls school. I don't want her going to a school where there's boys. Or maybe you're your son. I don't want my son going to a school where there's girls there to distract him from his schoolwork. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. James, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, James?
Good afternoon to you, Niall.
Well, now, James, you come from an era where it would have been all same-sex schools.
Yes, we're all boys, either all boys or all girls.
Yeah, but I suppose the world that you lived in, and I'm sorry, I don't mind to bring your age into this, but the world you lived in, the generation you lived in, men were men, women were women, men were the head of the household, men chopped the wood in the middle of winter with no shirt out the back garden, and women made the dinner and looked after the kids. So yes, it was a very different world.
It is. Change is always inevitable, Niall, but isn't always for the good, I've found. Yes, there has been some changes in Ireland that have been for the good, but some haven't. And you must remember also that if I want to go back and remember how I was taught how to respect women, where was I taught from?
I assume your mother.
No. My father.
Okay.
By watching my father relating to women. That's where I saw it. Where
yeah, many men listening today would say that their fathers were quite abusive towards their mothers.
No, not my father, and that's the majority of men. My father treated my mother with huge respect. Now, he was very much a macho, old-fashioned man, and he was the boss of the household.
Mm-hmm.
But if he heard for one second, remember one day, actually, he came home early, and we didn't hear him coming into the house, which was a mad mistake for a start. And my mother was calling upstairs to us to come down to have our tea. Now, we weren't back answering. We said, we'd be down in a minute, because we were engrossed in a game upstairs, myself and my brothers. And then I heard a heavy clump on the stairs. And he came, oh, Jesus, he's had to come home early. And he came into the room and he said, did I by any chance hearing you back-check your mother? Oh, no, Dad, we were just saying, I got a wallop across the face. It nearly knocked me off my feet. And he said, don't ever hear me you speaking to my mother like that again. I never did.
Yeah, my father would have been the same if I had spoken to my mother like that.
Never again. I wasn't back chap, you know, I just said, we'll be down in a minute.
Yeah, you just weren't doing what you were told.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And
I do understand when you talk about the respect they had for their wives, but it was a different world in respect of that, I suppose some people would accuse it of being a misogynistic world.
Well, it's just patriarchal, I suppose.
Yeah, it was patriarchal. I'm not saying, by the way, I know people talk about this kind of toxic masculinity and stuff like that. I'm not saying it was such a bad thing. It was a different world.
That's it, right? Yes.
Okay, but now we live in this world and we have to move with the time, James, whether you like it or not.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, we've a few years left in us. So
but a quarter of our children now, you see, are being reared without any male role model. For a start, they go into school, into primary school, no male role model there either, because 85% of primary school teachers are women. So that's a big change.
You would imagine then that would give them a little bit more respect for women if their primary school teachers are women, which they are.
Well, again, as I said, not to be blaming anyone, but if a young fella grows up into teenage years, and we have them here on the north side, and they're blackguarding in the neighbourhood with antisocial behaviour, and they're up to all sorts. Where do I lay the blame always now? Back to the home.
Well, I would agree with you.
To the parent. And that parent may be a single mother. And the blame...
Or a single father.
Yes, and the blame will lay with them now. If you're a single mother, single father, and your son is misbehaving at 12 and 13, 14 years old, that's where I lay the blame. So if a young fellow is misbehaving and he's not showing respect to girls in the school, it comes back to his either single mother or both parents, if they're there, both there.
And in relation to the schools themselves and the roles they play, and this is what we're talking about today, this has been suggested a few times, and not only this time, but last year it was suggested by Anna Reardon as well, that Ireland, we have 17% still single-sex schools and 33% secondary single-sex schools. And it's time for them all to be mixed. In other words, that we can kind of harvest and promote this healthy relationship between boys and girls from a young age. Is that not a fair idea?
I would say, Niall, that the level of violence towards women today is far greater than it was in my day. We did not.
Statistically, I don't know whether that's true. I believe it goes reported today. There was a massive level of violence towards women in your day, James. But the difference was, in your day, back in the 1950s or 60s or whenever it would have been. Sorry, James, I don't know exactly how old you are, right?
You're going in the right direction.
Okay. Back in the 1960s, somehow it seemed acceptable that if a husband wasn't happy that his dinner wasn't made on time, that he gave his wife a slap.
Yes, but I'm talking about the level of violence, what happened to Aisling Murphy now.
No. And again, I say to you that in those days too, many murders happened. We didn't get it all over social media and all over the media at the time because we were limited in resources for media. Everything that happens now ends up on social media or ends up in the news because we have such a broad range of media. So I don't think the world is a more dangerous place now than it was 50 years ago. I just think it goes, we get to see how dangerous it is.
No, I have to disagree with you now. We did not have, you never had what you had in Dublin for the last few years with the gangland criminals now. Never at that level now. Never.
Mm-hmm.
A young fella was walking his child home from a crèche, and fella cycled up behind him and shot him in the back of the head now. And he was taking, no, I don't know why he deserved it or not, but he's walking his little 1 year or 3 year old home from creche, and some police cycles up behind him and blows his head off.
Well, I would like to think nobody deserves that kind of thing at that time.
No, of course he didn't. Whatever he was doing, it didn't matter. But No, we didn't have that. Also, one other thing, I always disagree with Graham, Niall. Graham and I would never have anything in common.
I'm pretty sure
I disagree completely about the private schools. The private school saves the state money now. We have a private school here in Cork.
Well, they are partly still funded by the state.
Oh, yes, but they
get money from the VEC, don't they?
Only a couple of years ago, built a complete new school across the road from the old one. Completely built by the Presentation Brothers now.
Yeah, but they didn't pay for that all themselves.
Oh, yes, they did.
Do they not get funding from the VEC anyway as well?
No, it's the Presentation Brothers built the whole school themselves and run the schools themselves. So if all schools were half private, should they save the state a lot of money now? So a state school costs the state everything. They have to do everything for it. Where a private school funds a lot of their upkeep themselves.
So stay there just for a second if you can. I'm just going to Sarah as well. Sarah,
and Graham should know that now as a teacher.
Well, he's gone there now. I'd love him to have an argument with you about it. But Sarah, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Sarah?
Hi, how are you?
Sarah, you've witnessed toxic masculinity many times. Now, if you're listening to James, he's very old school, because I don't know what age James is, but he's over 70, that's for sure. And, he believes that the world now is a much more dangerous place than it was then. But would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. I'd be going out with my partner and my father-in-law and mother-in-law would be going out for a few drinks with their friends and stuff. And the amount of comments they'd make about young girls walking by, you know, good and bad comments, you know. And one day I got kind of just said, you, what they're doing is wrong. And I was demonised. I was ostracised.
You're basically being told you're being a killjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I said it to my mother-in-law. I said, does that not bother you? She goes, oh, that's normal. Men look. And I said, but they're commenting on girls that are 18, 19, 20 years of age. Well, it doesn't matter how old they are. They can comment on any women. And horrible comments and nice comments and what I do to her, you know. And it made me very, very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I said to my partner, you go out with them. But then I say, I'd hate for my partner to be in that type of company then. You know, so
The argument is now is that, you know, other men should call them out. In other words, if your partner is with them.
This is the masculine. They won't. And my husband, we have kids, we have daughters, and he'd never let anything happen to them. But in that particular, when we're out with them, for some reason he doesn't say anything
because he doesn't want to be seen as weak.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so it's alive and kicking, and it made me very uncomfortable.
And have you said it to him? Have you ever said to him, why don't you say something to him?
I do have murder with him.
And what does he say to you when you know, obviously he says, I'm not going to say anything.
No, it's not that he says I won't say anything. He kind of doesn't say anything to me.
He just shrugs it off, yeah.
Yeah, he agrees. I know he agrees with me. Mm. But the fact that his mother would find that normal, maybe that's been bred into him. But yeah, he's a very respectful guy. You know what I mean? He's bred from a different cloth, but he's a very respectful guy. But being out with them people, he says nothing. And I said it, and I'm like...
And why do you think men... I mean, sorry, James, are you still there?
Yes, though.
James, you know, back in the 1960s, which is the time I was born, and you would have been a young man, you know, where... I mean, you've heard the behaviour of some of the men that Sarah describes there, you know, this kind of, some people refer to it as toxic masculinity, which is this idea that, you know, women are fair game and you can say what you want about them. I mean, did that happen in the 60s? Were men like that in the 60s?
Very little, Niall. You must remember, I was growing up in a time when my father, who used to always wear a hat, he'd tip a hat when he met a woman, Niall.
Gentlemen.
You tip a hat. It was expected. If you met a neighbour's, a man's wife, and you met a friend who was with his wife, he'd tip his hat to them.
I mean, I don't mean to be rude in the middle of the day, but what... I mean, did the men of the 1960s, when they walked past a good-looking woman, as they would, as many of them would nowadays, turn around and say, "Jays, I'll give her one."
Oh, no.
Was that kind of talk?
The whistle might be the biggest thing. A young fella 16 might whistle after a girl, or a couple of fellas whistle after a group of girls. You know, they might whistle, you know, the usual wolf whistle, Niall. But there'd be nothing in this. The girls would enjoy it. They'd laugh, Niall. But this kind of remarks I hear now that have been made to girls are outrageous now. No way they would use that kind of foul language or, you know, innuation or, you know, that kind of stuff that goes on now. No. They'd be frowned upon. It really would be frowned upon.
Well, and how, Sarah, how do we then tackle that? Because somebody just texts in, by the way, and says, "Now, I'll tell you, woman, that women are just as bad. Hens parties, grabbing lads by the you-know-what, double standards." And I have witnessed that in the past because I used to work as a DJ and I've seen it by women doing it as well. But obviously, I would agree that more men do it than women, absolutely.
Yeah,
so how do we tackle that? If you want to call it toxic masculinity and toxic femininity, how do we tackle that?
Well, like, yeah, it does happen with women, you know, and but I think this is a real cliche, but women are not a threat.
I get you. Yeah, physically,
men,
yes.
Men making them comments, that is, I felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of move closer to you and, you know, it's...
Absolutely.
It's different. Women, it's all done in jest, you know. It's just having a laugh. It's just women. We're not a threat to that male. You know, we're not going to. If the male.
And do you think mixed schools? You know, because obviously 17% of primary schools and 33% of secondary schools are still single sex schools. Do you think they play a role in that? I mean, the fact that you say you'll have lads going to an all lads school. Do you think that creates this kind of machoism?
Yeah, well, like that's you know, I don't know what way they feel when they comment. I don't know, does it make them feel more masculine? I can't get inside their heads. But my daughters, they went to all girls schools.
Yeah.
And then in secondary, I sent them both to mixed schools. The eldest girl was fine, but the younger girl totally crumbled.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I moved her to an all-girls school, and now she's thriving. So
okay. So the point is, do you think we should still have that option to do that?
Yeah. You know, my
because
youngest
some people are calling for the apple. They're calling now for the abolition of same-sex schools.
All lefty liberals now.
Yeah, you can go too far. You can't take away people's freedom of choice either. If a kid wants to go to an all-girls school, she should be entitled to go. Or a boy wants to go to an all-boy, they should have the right to do that. Yeah. So that's.
And you don't believe that kind of fosters or, you know, kind of promotes this kind of bad attitude towards the genders, to, you know, for each other?
No. Well, my brothers went to all-boys schools and I went to an all-girls school. It never made any difference with us. Like,
well, so what would you say to lads listening today who, you know, are making comments or are out on a night out and they're going, oh, would you love to whore? Like, what would you say to those guys who believe they're doing it in all innocence and just think they're being cool? What would you say to them?
I could ask you the same question, Niall. You tell me, because if I speak up, there's something wrong with her. Mm-hmm. Oh, here she is. So you tell me, what do you say to lads?
See, here's the thing, right? Most of my company has always been women. And, yeah. I'm being completely honest. Like, I work with women all the time. I've always preferred to work with women. Apart from that, I used to work in the nightclub industry, but that was back in the day. And I did call it out. I remember working in one particular nightclub where the manager was a filthy pig. And I'm not saying he was guilty of any criminal act, but in saying that, the way he behaved towards women was despicable. And I did call it out. I said it to him on numerous occasions. I said, why do you do that? Like, I mean, what are you getting out of that? So I did say that. But I think there's always this thing, and I was never the type that would go out with the lads drinking because I don't drink, so I don't quit the pubs. I'm probably not your atypical man when it comes to what you're talking about. But in saying that, I think for a lot of guys, like your husband, that when they're in a group of lads and somebody says something, they don't want to be the one to go, ah, that's not on lads. I don't mean it. Because then they're kind of shunned. And that's what we need to change, isn't it?
That's what the problem is. So you need to normalise that from young boys.
Well, as James rightly said, then, isn't that the responsibility of the parents, both the mother and the father?
And schools. It's both. Because they spend half of their life in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and you can teach kids from a very young age things, and that should be one of them. You
absolutely.
Know, it'd be just second nature. Don't let your friends speak to women like that.
Respect.
It's just respect at the end of the day. But then you say, there are some people who are just deviants in the world, you know, they're just animals, like that poor girl, the fella that done that.
Of course, yeah.
A bad egg, you know,
You know, I mean, I've heard all the conversations, debates over the weekend. We are never going to live in a perfect world. Sadly.
No.
Yeah. Sadly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are always going to be rapists,
psychopaths,
murderers, psychopaths.
And Larry Murphys
of this world.
Unfortunately,
they will always exist. I don't know why. It's bad upbringing. I don't believe it's nature. I believe it's nurture.
Well, the thing is, now, I'm not interrupting you, but Larry Murphy was reared by very, very decent people, now. And his brother, who had to disown him, of course.
Of course, yeah.
A very decent young fella. And why did Larry turn out like that? You could talk for that for hours, now.
Mm-hmm. You need a psychologist to look at that one. Sorry, Sarah.
There are some people who have no empathy, now. They're born without empathy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Man, it takes a certain type of person.
We'll sort it one
day. Absolutely. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Sarah, and I appreciate your comments.
Thanks, Niall. Take care.
All right, keep texting. Keep WhatsApping. Number's 087-188-0008. Thanks, James, as well, who got involved in that conversation. Keep texting and let me know what you think.
I went to an all-boys primary school and secondary school. And to be honest, in my early teen years, I was probably less confident asking girls for dates and stuff than my friends who went to mixed schools. So I think it does stunt you a little bit in terms of, I don't know, integrating with the opposite sex.
Margot, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Margot?
I'm great, Niall. Hi, it's nice to talk.
Good. You were listening to James and you were a little bit incensed by something he said. What was it?
You know what? I'm in my 60s and I get annoyed when I hear people saying, we know it's not all men, or, oh, that was a good man, my father was a good man. Yeah, they might have been at home, but I don't know what they were like out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when they went to the local pub with their other group of men what they were like. We really don't know. People don't talk about it here. They wouldn't come up. I know if it was my father, there's no neighbour of mine would come up and say, oh, your father said such and such a thing, and I wouldn't do it with them.
I do understand what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. But the point I think James is making is that even my own father, when he went out with my mother, if anybody had a wolf whistled at my mother or said something sexual to my mother, my father would have knocked them out. And I think there was a time when men were probably a lot more protective of women. And then we obviously moved forward in time, equal rights, all that kind of stuff and everything else. And I agree with all that. And maybe what happened is this pendulum swung too far. And now we have a situation where Sarah speaks about a group of men making comments towards a woman and not one single man will stop them.
And that's always been the way, hasn't it, Niall? And I have to just say this because I'm terrible opinionated. But listen, I know what you said. Your father, somebody else's father, if the wolf whistled at their wife, that knocked them out. Yeah, but then they might have did it when they were on their own without their wife.
Maybe you're right.
We don't know. Yeah, we just don't know.
So what is the answer, Margot? When we all the conversations we've had, sadly, after the tragic death of Ashley.
Do you know what, Niall? Look, I know that man, is it James, was on, said it didn't go on as much. It didn't, but it went on an awful lot. I mean, I lived out in the country. We used to travel to dances and minibuses. Yes, it went on. An awful lot of that went on and still went on. And as I said, I come from a big family and I had six brothers. Of course they all went on like that.
I know, but so domestic, I think domestic violence was probably more prevalent back in the 60s. We just didn't talk about it.
It's not even domestic violence. It's the talk that went on about women.
Yeah.
And it was free. I mean, I was only a child.
Have you ever been subjected, Margot, to that kind of...
Do you know what? I guess, yeah, I was. I would have been at dances when I was going, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did it...
Listen, Niall, as I said, I lived in a little village outside of Swords. And I used to, when I was a young girl, I used to see sometimes men, probably in their late teens, 20s, and some girls, maybe teens, going into a shop. The men thought it was fair game to be grabbing them. They all thought it was. Mm-hmm. So when people say it's not all men, if there's 10 men there, 8 of them are like that.
They're happy to make comments like that.
From growing up all this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's your experience, yeah. and you're entitled to your experience. And I'm not going to believe you. I mean, I mentioned there about 2 weeks ago, before all of this happened, I actually happened to call it out on the air that I was sitting outside the shops and Swords, actually, coincidentally. And there was... two lads talking, builders. They kind of had high-vis jackets on them. And I'd say they were in their late 40s, early 50s. And these two young girls walked out of the shop, who couldn't have been more than 15. And they were wearing reasonably revealing clothes. But I was on the phone at the time and I was sitting watching the behaviour of these two guys. And they made some comment to the girls. The girls looked back laughing. And they were looking at each other and nudging each other and pointing at their bottoms and everything. And I'm going, lads, these girls are old enough to be your granddaughters. They were about 15 or 16 years of age. And I said, is there something wrong with these men?
Yeah, that doesn't matter, unfortunately. Niall, that doesn't matter to them. I've seen men in their 60s grabbing young girls that are 14. They think it was all right. Or you see them maybe in the supermarket, older men, and they slide up to a young girl maybe that's dressed as you would describe like that maybe. Yeah. Just to get beside them. It's sickening. It is sickening.
But I mean, but here's the thing.
Too good for them, in my view, Niall.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing, right? People say, okay, I should call that out. And I did, I called it out on the radio, but I didn't call it out to them. Because my feeling is, if I get out of the car and say, lads, give it over for God's sake, you're old enough to be their grandfather, they box the head off me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it, yeah, you know. As well. And I think another way too, Niall, as I said, is there's, like as I said, I'm in my middle 60s. I'm still working. I often heard younger people than me to have this old warped attitude, and I go, how old-fashioned are you in your 30s? You know what I mean? There's old-fashioned attitude about talking about what girls would be wearing if anything happened to them. And I go, what? How many men are grabbed going down a street with no T-shirts on them?
No, it doesn't happen. Margot, I've run out of time. Thank you very much indeed for your comments and I appreciate them all. I'm really sorry to have to cut you a little bit short. She's right. How many times would you hear of a man going down the street being grabbed just because he happens to be wearing a pair of shorts and a T-shirt? The number is 087-188-0008. We'll continue this conversation after the break. Amy, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Amy?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Amy, do you think it'll make a difference or would it serve any purpose?
No, like I went to an all-girls school and the best thing about, like, the best thing of the week was the Wednesday when you got off the half day and could go in and meet the boys.
Oh, okay. That was the exciting part. You go down the town to meet the boys.
Yeah, like Wednesday, you'd see everybody in the school would come in looking totally different on Wednesday to every other day.
Well, they'd all have their makeup on, their best skirts on, well-washed, well-groomed.
Well, everything, the skirt would be rolled up a few extra.
Are you serious? So it was all very exciting, wasn't it?
Oh, great. It was brilliant.
Yeah, but if you were in a mixed school, well, then you wouldn't have to do that because you'd be with them all the time.
Exactly. If we and like that was the other side of it as well. So, you know, the boys used to love us coming in because they thought, you know, oh, those girls always look great. And it's like, no, we just look great the one day of the week.
But I mean, so, do you see a problem whereby we're asking boys and girls to respect each other when they become adults, right? And they go into the workplace and they're going to be working together because nearly 99% of jobs have men and women in them, right? But in saying that, we're isolating them from each other for 5 years, primarily in secondary school. Forget about primary school for the moment. Primarily in secondary school, where a third of schools are same-sex schools. So we're not getting them used to working with each other because, look, we're different. Me and you are different. Biologically, we're different sometimes in the way we think. You know, we have different aspect or different outlook on life maybe as men and women, because anybody who believes men and women are the same is lunatic, right? So at the end of the day, we need to teach people to live together, to work together and to respect each other. So is it not better that we do that together in school as well?
Yeah, like I think, you know, you're going to have lads that lack the aegis to, like, try and impress the girls. But, like, if there's no girls there, they're going to ask the aegis to try and impress the lads. So, like, that's a person's personality trait and kind of how they're going to behave regardless.
Mm-hmm. And do you, I mean, when you were in school, I mean, did you find that, generally speaking, you know, when you met the lads on a Wednesday or whatever it was, or, you know, you went downtown to meet the lads, did you find men, I mean, I don't know what year it was or how long ago it was, Amy. You sound quite young, so I don't think it was too long ago, was it?
I'm 32. So,
okay.
A bit ago.
Yeah, okay, okay. So it was about 15 years ago. So, I mean, when you meet the guys, generally speaking, were the guys respectful?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, all right.
But, like, not in a nasty way. Not, like, you know, they would be wolf whistling or, you know, they'd be shouting over, oh, I'm sexy, you know, and it's harmless. It's absolutely harmless. I think people are getting too politically correct with it. You know, I didn't go in and put an effort into myself on that Wednesday to not have somebody look at me and, you know, think, oh, she looks pretty today. You know, yeah. And I think a lot of people do that. And, you know, people go, oh, well, I want to feel good in myself. And it's like, yeah, but that is boosted by, you know, people looking and, you know, you noticing people looking and that, you know, people do find you attractive.
And what do you say to women who would argue with you and say, okay, Amy, that's your experience and that's fine, but I didn't like that experience of guys, you know, kind of shouting words at me or whistling at me or whatever. I didn't like that. I felt threatened by it. What do you say to those women?
Look, to be threatened by something like that, they must have had a very, very sheltered life and not put a toe out of line.
But I think Aisling has described it to me here, you know, and Ruth, both my producer and assistant producer, you know, walking by building sites or walking, just mind your own business, walking down the road and guys are whistling at you or guys are, you know, shouting, you know, hey, sexy, all right. Or what, that they find it very uncomfortable.
Annoying,
probably more so than anything else.
Yeah, like if you're there on your own, you do feel a little bit awkward. You're like, oh my God, you know, stop looking. But it's not as in like, you know, oh my God, I want to run home and cry. It's just, you know, a brief moment of embarrassment. Mm-hmm. But when that kind of passes, it's like, you know, I'd still smile about it. I'd still be like, oh, you know, I'm going to do this.
I agree. That's probably on the lower level of it. But the problem is, I suppose that culture, I suppose when Aisling explains it to me, that culture of men thinking it's okay to do that or to say those things or to whistle at you like that or whatever it is, leads on then to, you know, this idea of men. I'm not suggesting those men would do anything bad. They probably wouldn't, 99.9% of them. But in saying it leads on to other men thinking it's all right then to take advantage of a woman or thinking it's all right to jump out behind a bush and grab a woman and do what he wants. It does lead to that culture, I suppose.
Yeah, like you'll have that with anything. It, like, no matter what you do in life, you'll always have the people that take everything too far. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's, you know, again, like people in a fight. You know, some people might, you know, throw one or two punches and call it a day, whereas, you know, somebody else is going to keep going and not stopping. But that's down to the individual. And obviously, you do need to come along and you do need to educate people. Like, yes, you know, it is okay to show somebody affection. Like, I mean, if I have a boy and, you know, if he grew up thinking, oh my God, I can't even, like, you know, tell a girl she looks good because she might be offended or might feel awkward, I don't want him to grow up in a world like that. You know, so there does need to be some
I know, a balance. Of, you know, and I understand what you're saying. I mean, we all remember that famous advertisement where the woman is walking down the street and the man spots her and thinks she's beautiful and he runs off and gets a bunch of flowers and starts chasing through the streets looking for her with a bunch of flowers. So it was the ad for Impulse. That would probably be banned nowadays. But in saying that, so you're saying, There's nothing wrong with that interaction, that human behaviour of some guy stopping a complete stranger and saying, you're beautiful. You believe there's,
yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, that interaction.
No, like, I don't think there should be. And, it, like, you know, people do need to create that balance there, as you were saying. They can't just be like, oh, well, you know, you can't whistle at a girl walking past. You know, there's nothing wrong with whistling at somebody. It's, you're not,
in France, it's now a criminal offence, by the way.
Really?
Oh, it is, yeah. Yeah, you can be fined for whistling at a woman in France.
Oh, my God. I'm glad I'm not French.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, and you're okay with it, but fortunately, there are women out there who don't like it, who just are very uncomfortable with the idea of a man doing that to them.
Yeah, look, again, I get that, but it's harmless. And if somebody is taking massive offence to that, then I think that's a them problem and not, you know, anything else. Stuff that's innocent and harmless. Like, again, the world is going way too politically correct with everything, and there needs to be a balance and an understanding that, you know, just because you might be slightly offended, it doesn't mean everyone else is.
Okay, we'll stay there for a second, because I want to go to Angela as well. Angela, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits. Angela, I've been listening to what Amy's saying, you know, and she basically means that the pendulum is swinging too far to the other way now. And she doesn't want to grow up in a world where people are overprotected, I suppose. Now, you have a 20-year-old son.
Yeah.
And he went to a mixed school.
He went to mixed play school, mixed primary school and mixed secondary. Now, I think all play schools are mixed anyway.
Yeah.
But he's met great friends, and he respects those girls, and he's there for them, you know, and he's someone... Him and the other boys in his class, it was a small school, they're there for each other. And when he was 16, 17, especially going out, I remember the first time he ever went out, I nearly had a heart attack. When I went over to collect him, some of the girls, they had way too much to drink, because they drink wine getting ready, going out. It's a big thing for them. And they were kind of thrown down outside the chipper.
Right.
They weren't coming home with me now. They had their own list organised, but because my son was friends with them, there's no way he would leave them. And he said, "Mom, we're taking these two home to their own houses." And
yeah, he didn't want to. He felt it was unsafe to leave them there. Yeah,
yeah. And
that's
he always always looks out for them when they're out.
Okay.
Always.
And do you believe he wouldn't have had that same interaction or that same social care for women if he was in a same-sex school, say with a bunch of lads?
Yeah, he mightn't. Now, some children, you know, they have the empathy anyway, but because he wouldn't be such good friends with them and know them well, he might just say, well, they're not my problem, you know, and you just walk on and leave them, whereas there's no way he would, because...
And would he be a typical guy of 20 years of age? Would he go out with his mates and... You know, you heard Amy there talking about the fact that maybe we've gone too far. She's talking about, look, I don't care if guys, you know, shouts over to me that I'm gorgeous. You know, she takes it as a compliment, whereas other women would feel a bit offended by that, upset.
Yeah, I think that age group, the 20 age group, they don't really do that. From listening to my son and his friends, they don't really do that. They, especially, well, the ones I'm experienced with all went to the mixed school, but they're just used to the girls and they have respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so you don't think the wolf whistling and that kind of stuff is a problem of that newer generation?
Yeah, I don't think in my little bit of experience, I don't think that they do that. And they're not
probably the older lads, is it, doing that kind of stuff?
Maybe the 30s, 40s, maybe. They're not shy around girls either, and they know how to talk to them, and they're just used to them. They don't see girls as, here's the girls, they're sex objects. They're just friends.
Yeah. I mean, Amy, I mean, I don't know whether you've children yourself, Amy, now. Do you have children yourself?
Yeah, I have a boy.
Okay, you have a little boy. Okay, yeah. And do you think, I mean, at what age is he now?
He's 4.
Ah, for God's sake, he's a long way to go yet. Okay, so I imagine as he's growing up, you would kind of teach him respect.
Oh, completely. But he's already had a girlfriend in preschool, and they got married in preschool.
Right, okay. So he's leaving his mammy, is he? Because most little boys want to marry their mammies, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, but do you think, I mean, would you be disgusted when he gets to 17 or 18 years of age? Would you be disgusted if you saw him one night whistling at girls?
Not at all. I actually, I, I just got had a lad come up to me there. I'm walking up the street. I'm in Cork, and I'm looking horrendous. I've no makeup on me today, and I was just putting on my mask, so even had my face covered up. And a man was walking towards me. I'd say he's probably around the same age as myself, and just goes, "You have beautiful eyes," and just carried on walking.
Okay, and you're not, you're quite complimented by that, are you?
I look like crap today.
Okay, so you're smiling because of that. But yeah. I mean, Angela, is there anything wrong with that, Angela? Because
no,
this
agree.
Is what we're talking
I
about over the last
that.
Weekend.
Yeah, you go out, and like she said, she's not dolled up today, and you're walking along, and someone compliments you like that. It's a real feel good lift factor.
Is it? Because I'm listening to so many women over the weekend who are debating against this, saying, you know, we need to call this behaviour out, that, a man that, says something like that, I mean, he shouldn't be saying that to a stranger, and that can make, again, some women, I mean, you two girls are okay with it, but for some women that can be intimidating.
I think it depends on the way it's said. You know, someone can say it
or
someone can say it leery. You know the difference between someone that's leering at you and someone that's just being nice.
Okay, so it depends on the way it's said.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And have you ever, Amy, have you ever been frightened by anything any man has said to you? A stranger?
Not in the sense of a compliment. I've been creeped out. You know, kind of like, oh, okay, thanks. Because like some guys can come on very strong, and I can understand how that would it could frighten some people.
Yeah.
But this would have been more in a group setting,
right?
You know, where if we had been out drinking now, and one of them does come up and is kind of a bit in your personal space.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would have been as big an issue, 10 years ago as it is now either, so.
Okay, well, certainly over the last weekend, it's obviously been an issue. All this has been an issue to have a conversation about all of this and how we change all of this. But you believe that's kind of the lower end of the spectrum and not something that you believe is too concerning. It's the other end of the spectrum, obviously, is more concerning, where women don't feel safe and are sadly assaulted, raped or brutally murdered.
Yeah.
Okay, stay there, please, both of you. Let me just go to James as well. But James, getting back to the schools again.
Good afternoon to you, Niall.
Good afternoon, James. Now, all your kids went to a same-sex school.
Well, they are. They're still in.
They're still in.
My son, who is 10, is in an all-boys school. And my two daughters, who are 12 and 14, are in an all-girls school. And personally, as I said, I was listening to my other namesake, James, earlier on. I know he's a good few years older than me, but maybe I'm a little bit of an old soul. I just kind of, he made a comment to say that, a lot of men learned respect from seeing how their fathers treated their mothers. And I probably would have been the same. And I do, I've taught my son to respect, everybody, but especially to respect women. If we're walking into a building, always let a woman go ahead of him. If he is ahead of her, hold the door open for her.
There was always that old-fashioned thing, and I hope it still stands, that you never hit a woman. So that was always a thing, wasn't it? My father would always say that a coward hits a woman,
absolutely.
And all that kind of stuff. So that was always kind of said at the time.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. No, but I just think the fact that with children, like my two daughters do well now in school, and so does my son. But I just think it's one less distraction for them, especially where, like, my 14-year-old is at the typical 14-year-old hormonal girl stage. And at least it's one less distraction that I have to worry about her in school if she is surrounded by boys all day. As I said, maybe it's just me being a little bit old-fashioned, but I just feel that. But I still think that people should have the option, if they want to send their kids to an all-girls school. No, I went to a mixed school. So, I'm nothing against a mixed school.
Yeah, I did. Mine was all boys, so yeah.
Yeah, no, I went to a mixed school. I think at one stage we had about 7 or 8 girls in the class, with who I actually dated one of them for a couple of months, but that's another story.
Because I'm running out of time, James, but in relation to, I was talking to Amy there about, male behaviour, right? If you were in a group of lads and some of the lads seen a good-looking girl walking down the road and they all started going, all right, go on, gorgeous, go on out, would you look at the set of boobs on that one or whatever? I mean, would you call them out? Would you say, lads, give it up, lads?
The two lads I socialise with would be actually older than me. They're about 2-3 years older than me. And to be honest with you, they wouldn't do it. And I think the reason why they both wouldn't do it is because they both have daughters. you know what I mean? One of their daughters would be...
Okay, but if you were in a group and somebody did that, would you call them out?
I would. I'd say, lads, knock it off.
Okay, well, I'm glad to
and
hear
that. And to be honest, that's why I was raised. As I said, I was raised to respect women, but I'm probably looking at the fact that I have a wife, I have two daughters, I have a mother, I have a sister, and I respect women. I respect everybody, but I respect women. So that's, as I said, okay. Yeah, that's just the way I am.
Okay, thanks for that. Let me just go to Paula. Paula, you're a little bit angered or incensed by Amy's comments about male banter.
Yeah, there's no such thing as harmless male banter.
Well, what about what literally happened to her while she was live on the air 15 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago? A guy walked past her and just, as she was putting her mask on the street, just said to her, "You've beautiful eyes."
No, that's not acceptable, because he has no idea what state of mind that woman is in. He has no idea, has she been sexually assaulted before? He has no idea what her home situation is, and he doesn't have her consent to say that.
So do we need consent to compliment people?
No, we don't need consent to compliment people, right? Okay?
Mm, yeah.
But there's a difference between walking up to somebody in the street and saying, "You have beautiful eyes," and maybe meeting somebody in a social situation and saying hello and introducing yourself and then saying, "By the way, you have beautiful eyes." There's a world of difference in it, and it has to do with... There's a kind of an underlying... endemic,
mm-hmm.
low-grade misogyny.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's there all the time.
It would be very difficult to make, I mean, as much as a lot of women are threatened by that, and I understand why, it would be very difficult to make misogyny illegal. Because I'm not saying you're saying that, but I'm just saying it would be, because... one person's misogyny is another person's compliment. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm weird to respect everybody.
Yeah.
To respect myself and to respect everybody. Okay? And to be responsible for all my actions. That would be my moral code. So I have no right to say that to another person unless I know them.
I mean, I understand when you talk about banter. When we talk about banter and men leering or shouting, you know, certain things, particularly if it's personal or bodily parts or something like that, I understand completely what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But in Amy's case, sorry, just Amy, just to remind us again, are you still there, Amy?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in the middle of the street and the man, and he just kept walking as he said it to you, was it?
Yeah, but she said more than that.
Sorry?
He approached me, so I was putting on my mask, literally, I just clipped it over my second ear, and he just paused for a second and said, "You've got beautiful eyes." And just, I kind of was like, it took me a second to process what he had said. And he just carried on walking.
And did you respond to him?
I just go, "Thank you."
Oh, okay. So Paula...
Yeah, well, that was a good response from her, and she took it in the right way.
Mm.
But it could have been a very bad response from her. She might have looked at him and said, "The last person that said that thumped me."
But you can't live life in that scenario. It's like saying, "Oh, I can't buy somebody flowers in case they don't like this colour." You know?
No. That is different.
It's not a
personal
exactly
remark.
The same.
But you also said that a lot of that kind of chat was harmless.
Completely, of course.
You elaborated. Mm-hmm. To say that other.
Well, maybe to her it's harmless. And the point is, Paula, everybody is different in the way they receive, words.
What I'm saying is that this is a symptom of an underlying epidemic.
I completely agree with you, there's a problem. But as I said earlier on to Amy and to others, and when we listened to James, who came from a different era, we don't want the pendulum to swing too far. Because human beings are human beings and we have to interact. And, you know, relationships are born out of random moments, like a man walking up to somebody and saying, "You've beautiful eyes." Marriages could be born out of that.
Yeah. Oh, well, probably.
I don't know about marriages. But...
No, listen, I my background was in public health.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know all about trends and attitudes and all the rest.
Yeah.
And for the likes of this horrible murder... to happen again, which is one, it's like a pandemic situation, if you look at it that, as opposed to, a common cold, put it that way. Mind you, there's not much difference now, is there? But what I'm saying is that there are so many different things that have to
I know. I know where you're going with that.
To
yes.
Stop that going. And the first thing is attitude. And attitude is learned in the home, where a mother and father or a couple, same sex, doesn't matter, give their children the right attitude, and that starts with
and teach them respect for each other.
Yeah.
And I don't think I disagree with that. I don't think Amy would disagree with that, because she's a little boy who's 4 years of age, and she is going to teach him. She said she would teach him respect, and I think that's the most important thing that I used to teach my sons as well, and my daughter, by the way, to have respect for other people and respect for the opposite sex, etc., etc.
Like my 4 year old Niall, he like if I'm getting, you know, if I'm putting on makeup of a Saturday to go, you know, do the food shopping or something. And if I look really pretty, my 4 year old would actually come up and say, "Mommy, you look really beautiful." And I'd be like, "Oh, you look beautiful too." And he's like, "No, Mommy, boys are handsome, girls are beautiful." So, like, I wouldn't want him to grow up thinking he can't tell somebody they're beautiful because the last person that told it to them might have beat them up. You know, that's no way to raise somebody or to live in society tiptoeing around every single corner.
Because one in a million might get offended. That's not what I'm saying. I actually didn't really pick up on that comment of the beautiful eyes. Mm. I picked up on the wider banter.
In respect to what you were talking about, the wolf whistling and the...
Yes, wolf whistling and maybe the...
Do you agree with the French, by the way? The French made it illegal. You can get fined for wolf whistling at a girl in France. Would you agree with that?
That's fine. That's like it's a bit like the alcohol issue where they've brought in the lower price limit.
Yeah,
that's only one small measure. Wolf whistling is only a symptom of a disease. You need to treat the disease.
And the disease is misogyny.
Disease is misogyny, and misogyny is learned. A child doesn't. Mm-hmm. Is not born with an attitude to women. Or the child is not born with an attitude to men. It's learned.
All right, well, listen, on that note, I'm going to have to take a break. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Amy. Thank you, Paula.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.